Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron, and we've got our new guest up to the mic already. It's Chris Rayner. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
That's all right. And you're running for election again after one term on the community board. Keen to come back?
Yeah. We've definitely got unfinished business.
Yeah.
Things we've started that we want to kind of see through.
Okay. Now, what I actually wanted to pick up on something Brucey was saying just before in the interview. I mean, he's come to Raglan and he loves Raglan and it's a special place and a good community. And it was a question I was going to ask, like a vision for the future or how we retain what we've got. Like, do you have, I mean, it's a tough question to answer and there's probably a lot of hand waving that goes with it. But do you have feelings about how we retain what we've got?
Well, it really comes down to diversity. We want to make sure that we've keep a large, diverse community of different ethnics, races, gender, socioeconomic. Like, as soon as a community starts to become monopic or singular, too much of one kind, then you really lose that character. So I think, making sure that we provide a community and a base for as wide a range of diverse people as possible.
And that brings us to housing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the cost of housing, right?
It's going through the roof, and people that have lived here a long time are being forced to look for housing elsewhere, which is it's a massive shame, and we've actually got to work out what we can do together as a community to stem that tide and provide housing for people from all walks of life and socioeconomic backgrounds.
It's a pretty challenging thing to lay at the door of the community board, which I guess I'm doing right now by asking you these questions, but what can the community board do about it?
There's lots of actual kind of programs already started over the last few years. I'm not sure you'd be well aware of RAP and...
RAP, Whangaroa Raglan Affordable Housing Project.
Yeah, that's an amazing stand-up. Like, that just got stood up by the community for the community. There's the shared electricity group trying to help people get onto solar through bigger buying powers. There's so many great organisations that have been stood up by the community for the community, and I think people don't maybe see what the community board has to obviously deal with the Waikato District Council, but we also try to support all of those stand-up groups in their interactions with larger groups. So we have each of our, we assign community board members to be a kind of contact liaison person for, the list is long, like 20 or 30 different community groups. Just trying to offer them the support to continue the amazing work that they do. And then obviously Raglan naturally has kind of evolved now into a larger kind of organisation to also work in that space. So it's just, it's kind of a complicated web of groups, but there's definitely a role that the community board plays in helping facilitate and be there to support.
Were you surprised when you went on the board at, like, you get a position of power, but actually the community board literally doesn't have any powers, it's an advisory board, that you couldn't come in and just make things happen? Was that, like, how did you kind of adjust to the whole bureaucratic environment and that sort of thing?
I mean, sometimes you do feel like you're smashing your head against a brick wall, I won't lie. But in other times you do see effective change from influence. It depends how you define power. Yes, there is no statutory rights or any, like, real, like, concrete power.
Yeah.
But it's, I would call it soft power, rather than what you might define as like a hard kind of, you know, we do this or do that, have the power to do that. But there's been a lot of things where the community board has actually managed to change the working relationship with some parts of the council. Look, the council's got issues. We all know that. It's not the most effective organisation, but that's across the country with all district councils. But the Raglan Community Board has stood out as a model example of a effective, functioning community board that can work with council when they choose to work with us, and we've actually kind of moved on, I think, from some of the confrontational ways that were impeding any progress in previous years, and to actually kind of push forward and where we can lead or advise on projects. I mean, you just have to look at, you know, the Wharf Project and the way the community board has been kind of hand in hand from the outset, applying for the funding, getting the money from the Provincial Growth Fund, and then overseeing really real developments and leadership in that project. And there's a number of other ones, places for people and the COVID response groups, and my personal involvement with the wastewater development. I mean, it's a slow progress, but the development of the wastewater plan together with WaterCare, you know, we're actually really involved.
So let's go into that one a little bit. Like, where's that at the moment, actually, the wastewater thing, and what is it looking likely to be?
Well, yeah, obviously, we're still operating under the existing framework. So at the moment...
Oh, yeah, well, there's the whole three waters thing as well.
Yeah. So that's a whole other...
Over the horizon.
But right now, we're operating under the existing framework. WaterCare is the organisation that is basically leading or preparing the consent. But they're delving into a very in-depth, thorough and genuine process to develop alternative disposal solutions, and obviously looking at land-based, while at the same time pursuing the highest grade of treatment. So the, when you break wastewater down, there's two major parts. There's the treatment of it, and then the disposal of it. And you kind of have, they go hand in hand, but you also have to realize that those are the, you know, the two major factors, and they do affect each other.
Yeah, so, and I know councils and you guys have been looking for land, if it's going to be land-based treatment and it has to go somewhere, how is the land available for that?
Yeah, there definitely is. There's been a range of soil tests done. There's the last kind of update from Stephen at WaterCare got into some really technical details of the soils, you know, in areas from Winery Reserve all the way up the hill and passed out towards Tomato. There's a range of options. But with any big change, there has to be a very thorough investigation to, like, the known effects of your activity and also the things that you don't know, and trying to work all them out. So probably the reason it's taken a lot longer than people might like to, you know, table the consent is that the process is actually probably, in my opinion, being done for the first time properly and genuinely.
Yeah,
not
I'm actually
ticking a box.
Personally, I'm actually comfortable with them taking their time. I want them to take their time and do it right, I think, because I have seen times when council tries to rush things and it's not helpful. I kind of got used to the idea, well, it's going to be slow with council.
Glacial.
Yeah. Well, you should try working with, who is it? Oh, Waka Kotahi. They seem to be much, yeah, we won't go there.
Yeah.
They're a bit of a struggle. So as a community board member, what are you doing in that process? Because obviously you're not the technical person, and you're not, you know, you're not staff. So what does a community board member do through that process?
Kind of a bridge, if you like, to unpack what's coming out of WaterCare and the technical kind of direction, and receiving the kind of concerns of the community, taking them to WaterCare, and then also getting them to basically unpack all the gobbledygook and make it into an understandable, real world application that you know, any person on the street can kind of get their head around.
Yeah. So I think ultimately we can say that there's going to be something different at the end of this.
Yes. There will be a lodgement of a consent, you know, within a specific time frame that, you know, I think that they're aiming for this year or very early next year. That was one of the things I have put a little bit of pressure on WaterCare and said, okay, guys, this is cool that we're doing it properly, but there is a little bit of grumblings out there with that. We need to actually see what this consent lodgement is going to look like. So let's actually make a hard push. And there has been, you know, obviously bumps in the road with COVID and then developing technology and treatment, which has also led, as different treatment technology has become more affordable or different or progressed, then bringing in that new tech changes things as well in terms of the soil uptake of nutrients and all the, you know,
technical stuff.
But and that's one of the reasons I'm staying, I'm putting myself up for re-election, is that, yeah, I've started a process, and with this wastewater treatment consent, I want to see it through.
Yeah, okay, okay. What else are we going to sort of cover here? Like, the, I always ask people about kind of work-life experiences that kind of that have been useful to being on the board, so people know what you used to do or what you still do. It's not like you get paid for it. It's not a full-time job. Well, it might be a full-time activity, but it's something you don't get paid full-time. So, yeah, what's your kind of work life like and been like, and how does that contribute to what you do on the board?
Well, I've done a lot of different things, from organizing, running entertainment venues and art galleries and whatnot in Europe and events, to now I'm basically a full-time kind of project managing a build, while also I've got my little digger business on the side. So I've got a digger and a truck and go out and do a few jobs on sunny days. Yeah. Actually just about to load up the digger and head out the door when you called.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's a sunny day.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, and so, and how does those experiences, what does that give you when you come on the board? Like, what?
I think it's just having real world experiences, being able to kind of understand what's going on out in the kind of wider community, and just bringing a level of general common sense, because honestly sometimes bureaucrats do come up with kind of like a plan that might seem good on paper. You know, take the changing of the Canberra Street walkway. Yeah, you look on a flat Google map. Yeah, that makes great sense. You go down and walk the track and it's obvious that going right up that hill and down that hill doesn't make any sense. So it's just bringing that common sense.
And it's that local knowledge, eh?
Yeah, and calling them out when you do notice things, trying to do that in a constructive way and be like, hold on, guys, like, you need to see it from this perspective as well.
Yeah. Did you actually get out? Was it you that went out and tried to walk?
Oh, a few of us have, actually. I mean, I've
been around there. I've never tried to walk where they
say it's pretty slippery.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I thought it would be pretty challenging.
And there was a really good presentation yesterday from the Canberra Road residents.
It was a very constructive group of people.
Like, yeah, no.
They've gone out and got quotes and everything. Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah, interesting. Hey, so what about canvassing, being in touch with the community, like you still do gigs at Yacht Club as a DJ,
yep.
And you're involved in the entertainment kind of scene. So you're in touch with younger people who don't vote that often, especially in local body elections. Like, are you encouraging people, people?
Absolutely. It's always a challenge to try and get some of the fellas and girls that are involved more in that kind of music and nightlife scene to actually get out and vote. But when you kind of also, yeah, I bring a different perspective to young people who, you know, previously haven't really had a voice at this local body level. And so a lot of people are kind of surprised, you know. I'm still, you know, working as a DJ and promoting nights, and I've actually got booked for Rhythm and Alps, so pretty stoked with that.
All right. Little shout out there. One thing I've got to talk about, and this you were, I guess we'll say, outed on the community board. You had a DIC charge recently. Was that the right phrase? DIC?
Yep.
Yeah. So do you just want to, I just want to give the opportunity to say something about that, any learnings or anything you want to say to the community?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There was, I made a big mistake driving home on a wet, windy night back from Hamilton after the first night after lockdown, seeing my brother. And yeah, I lost control of my vehicle and ended up in a paddock and the corner of Waitatuna Road and State Highway 23. I made some stupid decisions after the fact as well, drinking some beer in the car, not realising that obviously that puts me well over the limit. But actually the main thing that came out of that whole experience was the support and encouragement from the community, especially when there was a bit of vitriol on an old notice board. The amount of people that actually turned around and came out to me and said, hey, look, no, you know, you've been straight up about what happened. I've admitted I was in the wrong and I've taken my responsibility seriously. And there was, a couple of people that, you know, might have had it out for me in a way and tried to kind of bring me down or embarrass me or whatever. But I think I've just been amazed by the support of the wider community here in Raglan that have kind of seen it for what it is.
The notice board's a good place to go if you want vitriol. We do know that. So Yeah. All right. So I just thought we just needed to like briefly touch on that, acknowledge it. The things I like to talk about is the questions about Raglan. Everyone, we all like to think we're in a unique place. Have you? How do you describe Raglan? What is unique about it? Can you put it into words? Because there's usually a lot of hand waving and oh, it's lovely or it's this or it's that. But it's quite useful, I think, for someone in your position to be able to really get specific about it and see what it is we want to protect.
Yeah, well, it's an amazing intersection of culture that you don't necessarily find in other places. We've got the beauty of a small town community, while having the youthful exuberance of all the people that are into all the different sports around. You know, you say you compare places like Raglan to Waiheke. Well, you can't, because Waiheke is so sleepy and it's all just, you know, become a monoculture of quite wealthy people.
Right.
Whereas Raglan, with all of the surfing and kite surfing and mountain biking and all the activities, keeps a young vibrancy about the town while still providing a beautiful quaintness and smallness, and you have the whole creative side and the arts, yeah, and the music. And if you are working in an industry where you do, say, you need to go to Auckland once a week or once a month, you can. So we're connected to the larger metropolises while being disconnected. We've got this brilliant spot in the world.
They're close enough to be useful, but not too close.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we've seen some, there's council projections about this and that, projection of in 50 years' time, the population of our urban area, 12,000 people. That's one suggestion that the experts have given. So I guess I guess our vision for the future, like what you've described, you want to retain those things you've just talked about, but how do you create a vision for the town with all that growth due and the housing crisis and, you know, all that sort of thing? Like, yeah, how can you take us there?
Well, I mean, I don't think any one person or group of people or organizational body or whatever has a magic bullet answer. And I think the main thing is that we have to listen to and support those stand-up community groups that have like seen a need and got together, got organized and filled it, or seen something happening. And I think it's those small, unique community groups that continue to serve the wider community in different ways that are kind of the key to keeping our diversity and our uniqueness. Growth is growth, and some places have grown terribly and some places have grown beautifully without kind of overarching, you know, governmental control and policies. I think it's more about the vibrancy of the community, so that when new people do move here from other places, which is going to happen, that they don't just kind of go insular and into their shell and, oh, I'm not a local, so I can't be part of that group. It's the opposite. We need to actually be like, okay, welcome to town. There's this group, there's that group.
Right,
have you thought about being involved with this? It's involving and connecting people, not being like, I'm more local than you. And, you know.
Do you think the existence of Rangatahi might change that, just because the physical thing, where it's a whole new community in one place, whereas like the whole time I've been here for the last 20 years, most of the growth has been infill, and the subdivisions that have happened have been little ones, whereas that's like a whole new suburb. We're not big enough to call anything a suburb out here, but you know what I mean. Mm. Like,
it's definitely going to have an impact. Time will tell exactly how that unfolds. That was a process through a private plan change, and I think what we really need to focus is on providing in the next kind of wave of development is actually places for affordable housing, places for housing that might be kind of like a shared living model with more people like sharing a kind of common space, or just different ways of doing it, not just the cookie cutter, you know, smaller and smaller sections, my little, you know, land castle thing, but actually looking at how do we create more communal living situations, or some kind of livable, enjoyable, medium density housing, not, you know, obviously boxy apartments, but there are ways to do affordable housing. You just have to look around the world, and
yeah,
especially in Europe and different places, and some of the amazing kind of community-led projects when it comes to housing. And I think there is definite, you know, spaces for infill where we could actually provide better community housing. And I mean, you just look at the Murai-led development and, and
the Papakainga,
and the development that's going on there, and as a real example on how to do, you know, community housing.
I interviewed Axel Beck, deputy mayor, who's a mayoral candidate, yesterday, and he was talking about, he seemed to be in favour of giving some more powers to the community board. I presume that you'd be supportive of that as a community board person yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've worked with Axel closely over the last 3 years. And I think he's, yeah, one of the most level-headed, pragmatic and nice people in that organisation. And he's definitely in it for the wider community. He's not trying to, like, you know, hoard power in the council. And we all know that there's a government-led local government review coming up, and the devolution of some powers to smaller groups is probably one of the outcomes of that. So I think the council might be just getting ahead of the curve as well.
Like, what do you think the community board could do?
I think,
bearing in mind at the moment, the only actual power it has is over the discretionary fund, which is about $14,000 a year that they can give out to community groups.
Well, we took over, even the applications to that fund used to have to go all through council, and now the community board has taken over the application process for that fund, and it seems to be actually just need more interesting and great community groups to apply to it. We've actually got a little bit of a surplus
after COVID, eh? Yeah. Like normally it got used up every year, but in the last couple of years it has built up a surplus. Yeah, I do talk about that.
You just have to look at, say, projects like the wharf, like places for people, like what we're doing in the wastewater space, to see what the community board can do when it is empowered.
Yeah. But what about things like actual decisions? What things would you like to the community board just to be able to decide about, rather than having to say, well, we recommend this, and then having to build a relationship and all that sort of thing? Like, what stuff could you
say? It would come down to the delegations appointed by the mayor.
Yeah.
You know, one clear space that we have been kind of putting our hand up in is the coastal reserves management.
Yeah.
Because the coastal reserves committee was like dismembered or destroyed.
Dismembered by the outgoing mayor. I think the mayor said disbanded.
Disbanded. And that's left a big hole in our community, where basically the council seems to have just kind of assumed all responsibility, and we are trying to negotiate and navigate that space, and see how the community board can effectively work with all the stakeholders in those in those coastal reserves to improve the management of them.
And there's a meeting coming up in a few days or a week or so.
Tuesday the 13th, I believe.
Okay.
In the Surf Club.
Yeah.
That, for stakeholders. So if anyone feels particularly interested in the coastal reserves management, so that's Manu Bay.
Yeah.
Wainui Reserve and Papahua.
Papahua, yeah. I think there'll be a lot of people there.
Yeah.
Feels like, yeah.
I'll tell you a funny story. I turned up at that meeting a month early.
You're so keen to go.
I messaged the other board members, is that meeting on tonight? Yeah. I'm at the surf club and she's awfully quiet and rainy.
Yeah. No, you'll know when it's on, because I'm sure there'll be a lot of people there. Yeah. Hey, folks, we've been talking to Chris Rayner, who's current community board member, looking to stand again for the next 3 years. And I guess we'll do the bit where I ask you, or to tell us, why people should vote for you. What do you bring to the community board?
Okay, well, I think I bring a vibrancy and a little bit of youth. It's getting on now, but a connection to parts of the wider community that don't necessarily or traditionally have representation.
Yeah.
And I also was really strongly advocated the extending of the Raglan Community Board area to include Tamata and Te Uku in their entirety, which during the review the council for some reason didn't want to, and we made a really strong series of submissions to include those communities of interest. So even though I'm on the edge of the main town, I also like to think that I've helped to bring some representation to Te Uku and Tamata and Aukiri and Ruapuki, because we believe that they are communities of interest and part of Raglan.
Yeah, yeah. And I just interviewed Ross Wallace the other day, who's standing for the board, and he was like, he said he could never understand why they weren't part of it. So.
Yeah, it was illogical. And yeah. So we had to push back really hard, and it wasn't until the government-appointed commission agreed with us. And again, it was one of those things. Council could have actually listened earlier. But
I think they're just so conservative. They're like, we'll just do a bit. So they kind of half did it.
And then I said that was terrible, because it was even worse. You're going to give half of Te Uku a bit, and then the other people on the other side of the road are going to be like, why am I?
The boundary was literally going to go through the middle.
It was so illogical. So we pushed back on that as a board, and it was one of our little wins.
And you went and spoke to that, did you?
Yeah, okay. I went and spoke to the commission personally, and helped write the submissions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, Chris, been really cool talking to you this morning. Good luck with the campaign, and be interesting to see the makeup of the board. There's five of you guys wanting to come back, aren't there?
Yeah, so I think there's nine people standing for six places.
Yeah.
Plus the ward councillor.
I know it's less fun for you guys, but for those of us out here, it's good to have a proper election.
I think it's great, honestly. I've encouraged a few people to stand, and really, really stoked to actually have a real election this time around.
Yeah, yeah, cool. All right, thanks for your time, Chris. All right, folks, that's the end of the show for the day. Hope you enjoyed it, and I'll be back again tomorrow. And I think I'm interviewing Lisa Thompson, who's our current councillor and looking to come back to council as well. See you then.